Good morning, people of God. Good morning. Good morning. We are all, including me, at the feet of Jesus, the teacher of the teachers. I call him the rabbi of the rabbis, in Jesus' name. He's the greatest teacher, Jesus. Today, he wants to teach us his ways. Knowing God is not only to see his works, but to learn his ways. Today, want to go back to the root. The Bible says we need to be raw. R-A-W, to be raw. We need to go back to the foundation of our lives. Today's message is taking us to the foundation of life, our heart. Our heart, that's the key. Your real you is your heart. You are what is in your heart. Whatever you do on the outside, whatever you say or do, is only the reflection of what is in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, we speak. If someone speaks positively all the time, even in the face of negative circumstances, it means his heart is on the same way. If someone speaks negatively, complain, it's because his heart is on that way. There is a connection between our heart and our mouth. That's the connection of faith. There is a connection between our heart and our deeds. What dominates your heart will dominate your words. What dominates your heart will influence your behavior and your character. This is the foundation of everything in our lives. Living is all about heart. Righteousness is all about heart. Whom you are before God is all about your heart. God is looking for a man or a woman after his own heart, like David. What does it mean, a person after the heart of God? In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 35, God said, I'm looking for a faithful priest who will do what is in my heart, what is in my mind. A person who wants to know what is in the heart of God, what is in the mind of God, that is a friend of God. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, when God was about to launch his plan of righteousness for humankind through the generations, he visited Abraham physically and told Abraham, will I hide to Abraham what I'm about to do? God revealed his heart to Abraham. God revealed his purpose to Abraham. God revealed even the gospel of Jesus to Abraham right from the ancients of days because he was a friend of God. Amos chapter 3 verse 7 said, God does nothing without revealing his secrets to his prophet. Today, we are in the New Testament. We are children of God. God, his mysteries. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, the things of God, the things of the Spirit, the things that are hidden in the heart and the mind of God. No human being can understand. There are mysteries. Because there are things of the Spirit. There are things that the eye of a man has never seen and can see. There are things high above what man can hear, what man can even feel in his feelings and heart. Those things, God revealed them to us by his Spirit. The only means of communication between man and God, visible world and invisible world, is our heart. Now the term heart is so much confused when we read the Bibles, the different translations. What is heart? What is heart? What is heart? Prophet Yeshua simply gave the heart mean spirit to make it simple for everybody to understand. Our heart, I have a human heart, is the foundation of my life, the life of this body. When the heart beats, life starts, pumping blood, giving life to every cell of your body. But I have a human nature, but the scripture says, in the sight of God, I have a spiritual nature. Not only me, every human being is created with two natures, visible, invisible, physical, and spiritual. When God focuses on you, no matter your complaint, no matter what you look like, God is not looking at your body. God is not looking at your wealth or your poverty, what you're on the outside. God is looking at the heart of the matter about you, your heart. If I say heart, it refers to your spiritual life. We have a natural heart that pumps blood, the source of life in the physical life. We have a heart in the spirit. Your soul have a heart, a special heart called the spirit. And sometimes when the translation says heart, it means very often our conscience. My spirit has a special organ to discern spiritual things and to communicate as contact point with God. That is my human conscience, most often translated as heart or the mind of Christ. So when you hear heart, think about your conscience. Think about the seat of the mind of Christ. We have a human heart here that pumps blood, that gives life to the body. There is a heart that gives life to the spirit. We receive life through our conscience by the revealing word of God. The question is, when we come to God on Sunday service or to the church, you should bring your heart first before our mouth. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, God says, we should not draw to him only with our mouth, but with our heart. That's the most important. Why? Jesus Christ is not judging or interested by what we say, but the purpose, the motivation behind our words. The motivation behind our heart is what makes things holy, acceptable to God, or not acceptable. When Jesus is judging what the person has done before him, the rightful judge, he's not judging our actions. He weighs the motivation of our heart. Why the heart is so important? We need to understand that. Our heart is the focus of God. Our heart is the fountain of faith. Our heart is a well of living waters. Our heart is the dwelling place, the prayer room, the contact point where God dwells. When the Spirit of God comes, the only place he lands is our heart. When God wants to speak to you and me, he will not speak to our ears. He speaks to our heart. Therefore, what matters to God is the state of your heart. What is the state of your heart? Faith is all about your heart. With our heart, we believe. With our heart, we hear from God. With our heart, we receive knowledge from God. With our heart, we understand. The Bible called understanding heart, discerning heart. That's what Solomon asked God. Whatever the Lord says to you, it comes through your conscience, through your heart, the communication point, contact point for the Spirit of Jesus. The only part of our design that can perceive the things of the Spirit is our heart, is our conscience, is our mind of the Spirit. So when we talk about heart, there is a difference between the conscience and the mind. We have been talking about this for long. We have our natural mind, our level of thinking, and we have the mind of Christ, which is our heart, our conscience here, deep inside our spirit. And that's where the truth dwells. That's where the voice of God comes. That's where revelation comes. Now, when Jesus tried to explain how faith comes into our life, the Lord gave us the parable of the sower. This is the foundation of the Christian life. This is the foundation of faith. This is the foundation of every true believer. The ground in which God plants the seed of righteousness. Righteousness, knowledge of God, does not just happen. It is built. Where? Within you, in your heart. God does nothing without his word. We all know. If I ask you, what is the definition of faith? Everybody will quote Hebrews, of course. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible says, with our heart we believe. The answer, the most important verse of the Holy Bible to a believer is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. That's the only answer to receive from God, faith. That's the only answer to be born again, faith. That's only answer to receive from God, faith. That's only answer to see the things of the Spirit, faith. We walk by faith. My righteous shall live by faith. Romans 1, 17 and Habakkuk chapter 2, 23. We need to understand that only faith pleases the Lord. Now, your heart is a fountain of faith. It is your heart that believes. Anybody can confess, can say something with his mouth. What about the heart? So let me take you to Luke chapter 8 from verse 40. When a great multitude has gathered and they had come to him from every city. Take note, many people were around Jesus for a purpose. What brought them to come to Jesus? What were they looking for? What propelled people to leave their cities and begin to look for Jesus Christ? Many can be around churches, around men of God. But the Bible says we have to be around the head of the church, that is Christ himself. For what purpose? What is driving you to Jesus? That's why anytime Jesus sees a person who comes to him, he will ask you, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks a probing question to know the motivation why we come to him. Are we coming for selfish reason, classic reason, material reason, or are we coming for God's sake? Are we coming for Jesus? When we come to Jesus, we must know who Jesus is in reality in our lives. Jesus looks at our heart. When Nathanael came for the first time, full of doubt, say, is anything good come from Nazareth? Jesus said, a true Israelite. In you, in your heart, there is no deceit. How do you know me? He knows what is in the heart of man. So, Luke chapter 8, I read again. He said, when a great multitude has gathered and they had come to Jesus from every city, he spoke by a parable. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured the seed. Verse 6, some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked the seed. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's the question Jesus is saying today. He who has ears to hear what the shepherd says, what God says, what the Holy Ghost says, let him hear. How do we hear? Not with our ears, with our heart. He who has a hearing heart, let him hear what the Spirit is saying in his heart. That's the key. Then Jesus said, let me go to verse 18. The Lord said, therefore, take heed, pay attention how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever doesn't have, even what he seems to have would be taken from him. This is the foundation of all the parables. This is the foundation on how the word of God can bring fruit in our lives. The scripture says there's only one way to know God, through his word, by his spirit. The only way we can be born again, through the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The word of God, that lives and abides forever, the living word of God. The only way to know God is through his word and by his spirit. The only way to know Jesus through his word, by his spirit. The only way to know the Holy Spirit and his ways, through his word and by his spirit, the word of life. Now, when God is speaking to our heart, it means God is a sower. God is planting a seed in our heart. The ground into which the seed of the word of life is planted is not our brain. It's not our carnal mind. The seed is meant to go directly on a special ground of your heart, your spirit, your conscience. That's the communication point, contact point for the word of God. Jesus explained that different types of terrain, different types of soil, some off the way, some rocky, some has no sand, no root, some can just fall among thorns, some are good ground. What is a good ground? The good ground is a good heart. A heart that is prepared, that is ready, that thirsts for water and hunger for righteousness. That's the good heart. The heart that yearns for the things of God, eternal things. A heart that believes God for everlasting life. A heart that believes the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the heart the Lord is talking about. Blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, they shall be filled. When Jesus explained the parable, he explained the heart of man is a temple of faith. Therefore, we can see by this definition, the greatest problem we have today in our Christian faith all over the world is due to the state of our heart. Our heart, that's where the hindrance is. Our heart, that's where the trouble is. Our heart, our heart, our heart. So what is the cure? Before a farmer plants a seed, first of all, he will look at the terrain, the ground, the soil. He will prepare the terrain. We said last time, we have different types of terrain. Means we have different types of hearts. We hear through different ears. We see through different eyes. We think through different minds. And we receive the seed through different hearts. So when God is speaking, or when a man or a woman of faith is speaking the words of life, that word is a seed that is cast, but it alights into different types of heart. The question is, what kind of heart do we have? What kind of heart do we possess? We are what is in our heart. Our heart reflects whom we are before God Almighty. So the focus of Jesus, the focus of God, is our heart. Now the scripture says, everybody should examine his terrain. Everybody should examine his field. We are the field of God. And the sower is Jesus. What is planting? A special seed of the word of God called the seed of divine life, which comes into the good heart and causes faith to grow. So when you say you are a man of faith, or you are a woman of faith, it has to do with your heart, your spirit, your conscience. For the word of God to be fruitful, it must land in the good soil. The land is not my brain, it's not intellectual knowledge. That word is fruitless. But the seed of life is powerless, fruitless, until it is planted in the good soil of the heart. That's where the word enters and works effectively. Many people came to Jesus with different hearts. When Jesus was speaking, some people listened and came to believe and follow Jesus instantly because their heart was ready. Some people came to Jesus not because they believe in him. They did not believe in him. They did not want even to believe him. They had no room for the word of God. They were there to oppose him, to reject his message, and to find fault. Some people come to Jesus because they were curious. They came to Jesus because they heard about the miracle. They want to see the miracle. Other people followed the crowd because what they heard. Crowd was following him every day. Some people say he's good, John 7 verse 12. Some say he's bad. Some say he deceives people. That's the crowd. And we have some people that really saw Jesus in a good light. Some people that want to know more about him. Their heart was burning anytime they hear Jesus speaking. Their heart was ringing. They say, no one has ever spoken like this man. He speaks with authority. Our heart is burning when he's talking. What does it mean your heart is burning? Your heart is receiving the seed of life in your heart when Jesus is talking to you. He's planting the seed and your heart is receiving the life of the word in your heart. That's why your heart bears witness. Your conscience bears witness. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. I speak the truth. I am not lying. My conscience is bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus spoke, some believed, some didn't believe. Some follow, some stop. How many people follow Jesus? Thousands and thousands and thousands, multitude follows him for different reasons, for different hearts, for different purposes. But at the end, in the midst of the fire of persecution, how many people were there at the day of Pentecost? 120 about. Where were the thousands that followed him and saw his miracle every single day? So many are around churches today. Miracles, signs and wonders. But how many are around Jesus? How many wants to be friend of God? How many want to be like Jesus? Those are called disciples. Some of them were disciples of Christ because they want to be like him. They want to emulate his way of living. They want to learn from him and to walk in his footsteps. Now, when Jesus looked around, he knew what is in the heart of man. Let me take you first to the book of John chapter 6 from verse 62. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? They did not believe. What if you see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. What does this mean to you and me? The Word of God is Spirit and life. Without the Holy Spirit, the life in the Word can never be manifested. When the seed is planted in the brain, but only gives life when it is planted in your human heart, in your spirit. What is Spirit? Demands Spirit. The Word of life can only enter my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit who sees my heart, who plants the Word in my heart, the Word of life. When Jesus said, "Who eats my flesh and drinks my blood," they took it literally. They took it naturally, intellectually, by human knowledge, and find it hard to understand and to accept. How can this man give us his flesh to eat, his blood to drink? They took it literally, by common sense, by sense knowledge, and they were offended. Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. I continue reading. Verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. Meaning, it is only the Holy Ghost that can help you to understand my words and to receive the hidden life inside my words and impart that life into your heart, in your spirit. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Verse 64. But there are some of you who do not believe. Take note of Jesus said. There are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. From the beginning, from the beginning, from the beginning, Jesus knows who believes and who will not believe. He knows. He knows the future. He sees the heart. When Jesus judges, he sees you and your future. When Jesus looked at somebody, before he gave you a commission, he has screened your entire life. That is Jesus for you. He knows the end from the beginning. And he said, some of you do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by my Father. I mean, no one can know who Jesus is unless the Father draws him and reveals himself to him. No one can receive his word. A man and his words are one. Hallelujah. When Jesus is speaking, he's not speaking words of man. He's speaking the words of God, the words of life. That's the word that brings the miracle, salvation, eternal life, and the things of heaven. When the word enters the ground of your heart and you receive it, your life will change forever. God will be the one speaking to you and change your life. Today, I said, what is the state of your heart? What kind of heart do we have, do we possess? That's why today I want to explain something to you, to everybody. The different types of hearts today. The different types of heart determines the different types of people. What we are before God is determined by the state, the nature of our heart. When Cain came before God to offer sacrifice, right in Genesis chapter 4, God looks at his heart and did not acknowledge his offering. When Abel came before God, God looks at his heart and accepted his offering. Whatever we do must be in spirit and in truth. In spirit has to do with your spirit, with your heart. Your heart must be the one that speaks to God. Your heart must believe. Your heart must be the first to give. God looks at the motivation before he accepts anything from man. A man can come to you, a person, and give you something. And you are quick to accept it, particularly when you are in the point of need. But do you know the reason, the motivation, why he's giving you that? Before we accept, we need to know what is the motivation behind it. We should judge rightfully to know what is the source of what we receive. God will never accept the fruit from unrighteousness. He accepts the fruit from righteousness. He's not after money. He's after the motivation, the heart, that is faith, that is belief. The poor widow gave one dime, and God said she was rich in the sight of God, and God accepted her one dime. Some people were rich people. They gave thousands and thousands, but God never acknowledged their offering. Why? Because of the motivation behind it was not for God's sake. When you give to God, your heart gives to God. When you give to man, your hand gives to man. My heart must give to God first. I mean, it's for God's sake. If I give somebody to help a human being for God's sake, I'm giving it to God. That's the meaning. God acknowledge your heart has given it to God. That's for God's sake. When I do things with God first in my heart, in my mind, I'm giving it for God. When you are helping somebody who is weak, for God's sake, you will never take consideration of whom the person is or what he has done. If you do it for God's sake, you give it without any condition. Whether the person believes what you believe, whether the person is a Christian or not, if the person is in need and God is leading your heart, you will give without condition to that person if you give for God's sake. Whether the person say thank you to you or not, that's not your problem. You are giving it to God. Whether the person is a believer or not, it's not your job. We can't make anybody a believer. We give it to God's sake. When they give for God's sake, you give it to God. That's what Jesus is saying. Our heart, that's the key. If we want blessing from God, if we want our prayers to be heard from God, our heart must come first. We should learn to engage our heart, for God is spirit. And the realm of the spirit, the word is your heart. That's the communication point, contact point. Your spirit, your mind, is the only way, contact point with the things of the spirit of God, God Almighty. Jesus said, be careful. So what type of heart do we have today? We're going to show you quickly today something that can help us to understand our weakness. They can understand the processing of God. The different types of heart we have, God has identified in the Bible, different types of heart. And we find these different types of heart everywhere we go in the world today. When you read your Bible, you can quickly identify these different types of people that comes in the church, that comes to Christ, or they come to listen to the word of God. what kind of heart they're bringing to God. Why is it the same message is given? Some people believe and receive breakthrough. Some people do not believe. It depends on the nature of the kind of heart we have. We have to take care of our hearts. Glory be to God. No matter the state of our heart, there is a process that can make your heart a good heart. Hallelujah. That is the processing of God. That is the power of God, the work of the potter. Who is the potter? God. We are the clay. So, let me take you first. When you read the Bible, we have five different types of heart. We want to show you quickly, and after we expand and give example, what type of heart, so anybody can locate himself. We have five types of people around Jesus. We saw it. The first I'm going to talk about, we have the heart we identify as the never believing group. When I say never believing group, what does it mean? Who are the people around Jesus who at first were part of the never believing group? The people you expect to be believers, the people that claim to know everything, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the doctors of law, the teachers of the law came first, but none of them understood and believed what Jesus was saying. They couldn't understand, and they used the word to say Jesus is blaspheming and rejecting and persecuting him everywhere. Whatever Jesus says, they stand against it. They came to him not because they want to believe. They came to him because they want to oppose his message. Their heart has no room for the message. That the people that will never open the Bible and read it with a pure heart. They come to Jesus to find fault. They come to him to trap him. Their focus, their attention was not on the seed of life. Their focus, their attention was entirely on the natural. Whatever they see about Jesus, the only thing they see was the son of Mary, the son of Joseph, a young boy that grew in their midst. They couldn't see beyond their eyes. But there is more to Christ than meets the ordinary eye. When Jesus spoke, they resist him everywhere. Let me take you to the book of John, chapter 8. The encounter of Jesus with such people. John 8, let me start by verse 42. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said, if God is your father, you would have loved me. But I proceed, I came from the Father. I proceed forth and came from God. And I have not come by myself, for he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Why do you not understand my words? That's the key. Because you are not able to listen to my words. These are the people. Jesus said to them, they cannot understand the word. They cannot understand the speech because they are not able to listen to my words. Why? Because they had no room for the word. They are not interested by it. They have a different motivation. Jesus said, and we continue, verse 45, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you can convict me of sin if I tell the truth? Why do you not believe me? Verse 47. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. That's what Jesus said to them. What a statement. It shocked me the first time I read this word. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the doctors, the teachers of the law who were teaching the whole people. Jesus said to them, John chapter 8, verse 47. I read again. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. What's the meaning of that? The Lord is saying, he who is of God hears God with his heart, with his spirit, with his conscience. Because the words are spirit and life. Their heart was completely closed to the truth. They only come to Jesus with their mind. They try to figure out Jesus' message with their carnal mind, not with their heart. They came with their mouth, not with their heart. They came not to believe. They came to query. They came to use their human understanding to figure out the message which is spiritual and life. Jesus said, therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. What's the meaning of that? I mean, anyone who is of God is anyone who is led by the Holy Spirit. If the Spirit of Father is leading you to Christ, He will open your heart, prepare your heart to be a good ground to receive the seed in the midst of your heart. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit to receive the word in your heart. How can the Holy Ghost help somebody who does not need His help? He can only help the one who recognizes weakness. That's why the scriptures say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. If I acknowledge my weakness, if I acknowledge my poverty, then without the Spirit of Father, there's no way I can hear. Then I will cry out for help. And the Spirit of God will come, manifest His strength in my weaknesses, and take me to the mountain that is higher than me. Only those who come by humility of heart can receive from Christ. But the heart that is pride, the heart that is arrogant, the heart who depends on its own knowledge can never receive the seed of life. It opposes, it queries, because it comes with his mind, not with his heart, open to receive from Jesus. These never-believing group, no matter the miracle they see, no matter the word they hear, they are not interested. The issue is not God. The issue is that they don't see any reason to believe. They don't see any reason to receive the word of God. You can see they refuse to obey God's command. They refuse to open the Bible. They refuse to listen to the message. Their heart is completely closed. There is a wall. You can see the wall. There is a wall between their heart and God's word. There is a veil. Until this wall is removed, they can never come to believe. But glory be to God. It is possible for the person to be in this category and later, by mercy of God, will come to believe. Let me ask you a question. Did Saul came to Jesus because he wanted to know the gospel? When Saul came, his mind was, at first, to fight the way. He came to persecute the Christian and cause them to blaspheme and to reject Jesus. On his way to Damascus, he was not seeking salvation. He was not seeking Jesus. He was fighting Jesus himself. When they were executing Stephen, he was there. He had a letter of authority of recommendation to stop Christians, to put them to jail, to cause them to blaspheme, to fight the gospel. His heart was a never-believing group, no matter what he heard. But glory be to God. What can bring such a person to faith? It takes revelation of God. When revelation comes, the sense knowledge, the wall is removed. Revelation, remove the veil. Remove this wall of hostility. Immediately, Saul had the revelation of Jesus, as we said. That revelation took him beyond the realm of senses, and he had an encounter with Jesus. He was shocked. What he couldn't see, he began to see. God gave him eyes that can see. A heart, for the first time, the heart of Saul was open to receive revelation from Jesus. Because the revelation he heard was not his brain. It was his heart. God opened the heart of Saul to see and to hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to him straight, directly in his heart. And he went on his knees, accept the revelation. He left changed forever. And he went to another group, which we're going to talk about later. So today, when you see someone say, I'm not interested by you, by Jesus, or by the word, you can never force that person to believe. You can never convict that person to believe, because faith is a gift from God. What do we do when you face such a situation? Pray for such a person. Pray for that ground. Such a heart is a rocky heart, hardened heart, ready to fight human beings, just fight everything. Until that heart receives revelation from God, it can never change. But glory be to God, there is hope for such a heart. That's why we have to examine ourselves. We have to pray and intercede for such a person. This is the case of somebody who has never heard the voice of Jesus, who has never heard the gospel of Christ. When if he's such a person, God has compassion for these people. Jesus never rejected them. He never rejected Saul. He never rejected, for that's the purpose of the church. These are the people Jesus wants to bring to the light of Christ. These are the people that Jesus faced every single day when he came. Never believing heart. I will call it never believing heart. When I say never, glory be to God. I mean, their aim, their purpose was not to believe. They were not seeking belief or salvation. But God can change such a heart. Number one heart. That's why anytime Jesus is preaching, when these people come, Jesus remains silent. Why? Because Jesus will never cast his seed into a heart that was ready to receive it. When God was sending Paul in Acts chapter 16, verse 7, the Holy Ghost knows the state of his heart. If you know the people you are sending, their heart is not open, ready, Jesus will never send them there. Now you understand why in Acts chapter 22, verse 14, verse 18, verse 21, Jesus said to Paul, "Get out of this place, for they will not receive the testimony you give at me. Go quickly, I'm sending you to the Gentiles." That's why we need to be led by the Spirit to share our testimony. When the Spirit of God is leading you, he will lead you to a person, his heart has been transformed. You hear what Jesus said one day. You are reaping where other people have labored and you enter the labor. What's the meaning of that? God has to work in such a heart to make them ready to receive the seed. A farmer will never cast a seed in a land that is stony. He removed the stones. He removed the weeds. He prepared the ground before he plants the seed. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Ghost comes, he convicts the heart of sin. Remove all sin. He's the one that opened the heart to receive the seed. It's the Spirit of God that can change such a heart. Glory be to God. If you see any person that is like this, there is hope for that person because God never gives up. The answer is Holy Spirit. Number two, let's go to the second type of heart. Ready to believe heart. At first, when you see the heart, that's good. That's good. These are the people that believe anything they see. Anything they hear, they believe. Today, they believe. And tomorrow, they believe something contrary to what they believed before. I believe that Jesus is Lord. Tomorrow, no, I don't believe so. They believe today, they don't believe tomorrow. How can we identify these people? Whatever they see, whatever they hear, they are ready to accommodate it without examining it in the light of God's word. These are the people whose faith is not scriptural. These are the people who the source of their faith is not the scripture. They go by experiences. They listen to what people say and follow the mob and follow the crowd and begin to believe. These are the people that can develop love towards a person they have never seen and never met. People say he's good, it is good. It is bad, it is bad. Remember the crowd when Jesus entered. Next week, we are celebrating Easter. At the first day of the week, when Jesus entered at the Palm Sunday, what happened that day? Everybody, because of the miracle Jesus did by raising Lazarus from the dead, everybody was holding a palm tree to welcome the king they were expecting. Hosanna, 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 welcoming Jesus and want to make him king. Everybody was outside to honor him. A few days later, many of these people stood in the praetorium before Pilate. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. What a change of mind. Their mind is double-minded. They don't have any root of belief. They don't have any ground to stand. This is what Jesus said. They build their knowledge. They build their house on the sand. Any heart that is not ready for the word of God, any heart that's built here with the brain is building on the sand. We build on the rock of the word and the ground in which the foundation is in the heart of man, your spirit. We have in Acts chapter 17, to give you an example, let me go to Acts chapter 17. We have an example of these people that Paul himself met when Jesus sent him. Paul, in his missionary journey, was led by God to go to the Gentiles. And here he met a category of people. Let me start from verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. You are very superstitious or religious. For as I was passing through the town and considering the object of your worships, I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. What happened? Paul was walking through Athens. He saw so many altars, so many gods. God of water, God of alcohol, God of fire. So many gods, so many, so many. Every new trend they want to know. They were looking for any new things, any new thing. Whatever they see, they believe. Whatever they see, they worship. To the extent Paul saw an altar called the unknown God, meaning they're worshiping a God they never knew. And Paul took opportunity. This is the real God, the God you cannot know by your mental calculation, imagination. I'm going to talk about this God. And he began to expand. What is Areopagus? It was a place of debate, of discussion, where the philosopher, the intellectual, those are high in knowledge, were gathering to share new ideas. Everybody wanted to hear a new idea. That was a trend, to follow a new trend. Everybody, the masses. These are the people who are ready to believe everything they hear. Every new thing they want to hear. Now, when Paul came with a message I've never heard, let's listen to what Paul said to them when he came. Paul said, verse 23, "For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one God whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple built by hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all breath and all things." Verse 26. "And God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and he has determined their pre-appointment times and the boundary of their dwellings." Let me go straight to verse 29. He said, "Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or statue, something shaped by art and man's devising." Paul began to tell him about God is spirit. The only way to worship him is with our heart in spirit and in truth. We don't need to see a statue. We don't see an idol. Whatever they see, whatever they hear, they believed. When Paul was talking, what was the attitude to the message of Paul? Paul said, verse 32, "When they heard Paul speaking about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others say, 'We will hear you again in this matter.' So Paul departed from them." When Paul spoke about Christ, about the resurrection of the dead, they could not believe. It's beyond their understanding. That some were ready to listen to him. They were philosophers. They were listening. What did they lack? They were there for knowledge of the brain. But God is spirit. Natural human senses and knowledge can never understand the ways of God. So the resurrection was a folly for them. They could not believe a man can die and resurrect. They could not believe in the message of Christ. And believing in the resurrection of Jesus is the foundation of the Christian faith. If we don't believe Christ's resurrection, our faith is vain. The message of the cross, he died, but he resurrected. And faith is complete. So they couldn't understand. But these people, every day, they were there to accept any philosophy that comes. They're ready to believe whatever they hear. But their heart never believed indeed. Their mind was open, but their heart was closed. These type of people came around Jesus. They heard about the noise. They heard about the miracle, and they followed Jesus. So when Jesus sent the word, said to them, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood," hey, they say, "Who can never hear this kind of thing? Who can understand?" And they quitted and left Jesus immediately. Just as they couldn't understand the resurrection, they couldn't understand that Jesus was speaking words of life. "My words are spirit and life." These people were absolutely carnal, intellectual, and religious, but their heart was close to the word of God. And the word Paul speak were going to their heart, but their heart was closed. The ready-to-believe group. We have today many people, instead of opening the Bible to have scriptural faith, they listen to philosophy. They listen to whatever they believe. And that's why they can be deceived, tossed back and forth. Such a person can never come to the faith of God. He will believe today and tomorrow turn against. Next, until I see. These are the people who at first don't reject the word. They have an approach to the word which is intellectual, human knowledge. But for them to believe, they must see miracles. They must see signs and wonders that prove that really this is above human. If they do not see a miracle, they will not believe. Many of them came to Jesus and said, Lord, what sign are you doing for us to believe in you? Go to John chapter 20. Let me go to John chapter 20. Let me talk about Thomas first. Job chapter 20, verse 24. Thomas is the person we know most. Thomas followed Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He lived with Jesus. And Thomas was there when he saw a lot of miracles Jesus did, including the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Thomas was there. The teaching of Christ, Thomas was there. All Jesus was saying, Thomas heard it. But what was the problem of Thomas? The first day when Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas was not there. I'm always asking myself, where was Thomas while everybody was there? When Jesus came the first time, Thomas was not around there. Where was it? I don't know. But all we can say, Jesus appeared to the disciple while Thomas was away. Let me read. So when Thomas came later, verse 24, let me read. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. We have eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection. But when you say about the resurrection, some people cannot believe it. When Paul mentioned the resurrection to the people of the Areopagus in Athens, they say, oh, what is this? We can't believe this. Later, when he spoke before Felix and mentioned the resurrection, he said, oh, Paul, you're out of your sense. It's something they couldn't believe. How can a man die and resurrect? They've never seen it. I've never heard about such a thing. So Thomas said, who heard Jesus repeat so many times, they will kill me, I will resurrect. Thomas said, so he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nail that crucified him, unless I put my own finger to check the print of the nails in his body, unless I put my hand in his side when I was there, when I heard that they pierced his side, I will not believe. That statement came from Thomas, who lived with Jesus for 3 years, according to the Bible. Living with Jesus, walking with Jesus, doing assignment, witnessing quasi miracle the Lord did in his presence. This means many people saw the miracle God did in the wilderness. They saw the pillar of cloud. They saw the water came from the rock. They saw a miracle God did, but they never came to believe in their heart. What is the problem? Until I see. They want to see an evidence on the outside before they believe. And that's where the problem is. The Until I See group say, seeing is believing. These are the people that say that. Seeing is believing. Until I see, I will not believe. Skeptical, doubtful. They want to see miracle before they believe. But even if they see miracle, that faith is based on feeling, on emotion, on experience on the outside. That's not stable. The fact that you see miracle does not mean you understand the ways of God. The ways of God is a way of faith. How many people saw the miracle Jesus performed and they left him? How many people saw the miracle God performed in the wilderness and they refused to believe and died in the wilderness? Knowing God is to know his ways, is to know his word, not to see his hand, but to see his heart and mind and his face. If I say you know a person, you must know what the person stands for, his character, his real nature, not his appearance. So, Thomas said that. What happened? Everybody kept quiet. The Lord has to appear on the next Sunday, following Sunday. Jesus came to him. Let's see what happened that day. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. Jesus was in his body of glory. Hallelujah. It is true they have seen many resurrections Jesus performed, but that resurrection is completely different from one of Christ. Why? The resurrection of the widow of Nain in Luke chapter 7, the resurrection of Lazarus, of so many people, Jesus called the spirit back into the same body. And these people continue to live and they die again later. But Jesus' resurrection is different. Jesus' resurrection, his body of glory came. That's the resurrection. Oh my God. This body entered without open. A door was closed and he entered. That body is different from a natural body with a spiritual body. So Jesus came and said to him directly, Thomas, Jesus said, peace to you. Reach your finger here, he said to Thomas, and look at my hands. And reach out and put it on my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. What strikes me is not what Jesus said. What strikes me that when Thomas was saying this the week before, Jesus was there in spirit. The Lord was there hearing what he said. Nobody reported to Jesus. This is what Thomas said, because Jesus was in the spirit. But Jesus heard what you say in the secret. Jesus is invisible, immortal, but he is listening to you. That's why at the last day, he's a judge of the living and the dead. Everything we do in the secret, God knows. This is recorded. That's why at the last day, God will reveal what we hide. Meaning that Jesus disappeared in their sight. He was still there in presence. When Thomas was saying this, Jesus was listening. The next Sunday, Jesus appeared to him physically, and he came to believe. Until I see, to believe. Thomas answered, my Lord and my God. That's what he said. Then he came to believe. Because of what? Revelation came. And when revelation came, all the doubt disappeared. When Jesus revealed to him, revelation came immediately, and Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And he came to believe because what he saw. What did Jesus say about this? Jesus said to him, verse 29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed. This is the message for you. Have you ever seen Jesus face to face? I've never seen Jesus face to face. I've never touched him and seen him the way the eyewitnesses did. But I believe that Jesus is whom he say he is. That's his faith for you. I believe that Jesus is real, absolutely real. I've never seen him. I never touched him. I cannot demonstrate that Jesus is alive, but I know he's alive in my life. I know. That's what faith does. It's a mystery. The fact that you have an experience, a revelation of God, no matter how mighty it is, does not mean you can force people to believe it. Every person must have his own revelation in order to believe. That's the mystery. The disciples were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. They saw it and they wrote it in the Bible today. And they tell us, it is here. But who believes it? The fact that Jesus died for all human beings, does it mean everybody automatically say, no, some don't believe the message. Because of the nature of the heart they have. Many came and said, what miracle do you perform for us to believe in what you are doing? These are the people that are looking for experience to believe. They can be easily deceived. Why? Because they can never see the difference between what is from God, what is not from God. These people are the same people who were deceived by Balaam in Numbers chapter 22. He was a witch doctor with power from darkness. When Satan manifests evil power, these people will not see the difference. In the book of Acts chapter 8, they were following a man called Simon, who was a witch doctor, a magician. When they see a result, they don't ask, what kind of power is that? Divine holiness is by the Holy Spirit. What is holy is by the Holy Ghost. What is God is by the Holy Ghost, not by contrary power. Powers of darkness, they can see by divination. They can speak by divination. But what is holy is by the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of truth. That's why the scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, examine everything in the light of God and test the spirit. Not every spirit that speaks is from heaven, is from God. That's why we need to be led by the Spirit in order not to be deceived. Watch and pray. Until I see, base their faith on spiritual experiences. Today they believe, today they don't believe. And now we have these people. Where 90% of people can identify themselves, including me, talking to you in the beginning. This is slow to believe. Who are these people slow to believe? They are the people that read the Bible. They are the people that go to church and listen to the message. There are the people who meditate in the word of God because they want to understand it. Remember what Jesus said, the parable of the sower. Matthew 13, 19, when the word is planted in the heart and the person do not understand, the devil will come and steal the seed. These people, they abide in the word. These people, they want to understand. They examine in the light of God's word. They are reading the Bible. They go to church. They do fellowship, devotion, and they pray. What they have, their problem is they're slow of understanding. Every one of us go through this. Every one of us. This is the problem we face today. They say, I go to the church, I pray. But why am I facing this? Why am I having this trouble? I pay my tithe. I go to church. I'm faithful to God. I pray and fast. But I have this problem. Why am I poor? Why have this nightmare? They're slow to understand the heart of God. They need a greater understanding of the heart of God to see God's will, God's opinion, beyond the circumstances they face. These people, they believe. But when situation comes, their faith is shaken. These are the Jesus call in John chapter 8. These are the true disciples. All the disciples, including Simon Peter, to all the 12, including you and me, we all went through this process. You are reading the Bible reading, you are praying, you are worshiping, you are doing everything. But that doesn't mean you will not have circumstances. Here, they find it difficult to understand the divine meaning of the Bible. What is the cause of this issue? How you can get to understanding is the key. This is the work of Holy Spirit. When I read the Bible, they can have revelation, they can have vision, but they may not understand the vision. They doubt it. Many of us have heard from God, really, God has spoken to them. They have seen vision, dreams of God, but still, is it true or is it me? Why? Because they lack spiritual understanding. Knowledge can only settle in our heart at the point of spiritual understanding. It is only what you understand that remains with you forever. The word will abide in you and stay with you when you understand it. When you went to school, we said it, what you understand is with you forever. True knowledge settles in our heart at the point of understanding. The right knowledge comes with understanding of God's way. If I understand God's way, as Job did, when there's trouble here, you will never see God in the bad light because he understands the ways of God. That's why in the midst of trouble, he said, I know I'm only being tested. I will come out like gold. The disciples, including Thomas and others, many of them, Jesus told them, I would die and resurrect. But the day Jesus was crucified, many of them abandoned the faith. Two of them was on the way to Emmaus to go back to their former life. Some of them went to go fishing. Peter and everybody go back to their former life. When Jesus called them, they were fishermen. They returned back to their former life. So they say, it is gone. Jesus is dead. He will not come back. It's over. Until Jesus appeared to them. What is the problem? Because they failed to understand what Jesus means by resurrection. And Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 24. Let me start from verse 25. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. I repeat, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and to enter his glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus read the whole Bible to them and explained to them. He expounded to them in all the scripture, the things concerning himself. Now, let me go to verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. I told you I would die and resurrect. That in all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Verse 45. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's the first key. If Jesus did not open their understanding to understand the scripture, they would not come to believe. This is the greatest ingredient of faith, understanding of the things of the Spirit and the ways of God. Because of this understanding, they were able to wait in the midst of persecution at the upper room till the Holy Ghost came. The slow to believe, this is what Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That truth will never come by intellectual knowledge. That truth will come by revelation. The Holy Spirit guides us into the understanding of the truth of the Bible. The Spirit of God works in us and opens the eyes of our understanding, Ephesians 1:17, for us to understand the divine meaning and the purpose of everything Jesus said in the Bible. When Jesus opened their heart, what does it mean? Jesus gave them a special anointing of the Spirit of God to give them spiritual understanding. Don't forget, Isaiah called Holy Ghost, Isaiah 11, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of wisdom, knowledge of fear of the Lord. Now, when we read the Bible and we don't understand, we should keep on reading and asking the help of Holy Ghost to take us to the divine meaning. We should not interpret the Bible by ourselves. Meditate in the Word of God. Water the seed. Think about it and meditate till the Spirit of Father come and give you spiritual understanding of the Bible. Paul understood the mystery and he said, this gospel, nobody taught me. I receive it by a revelation of God. You will see my understanding of the knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Everything about God is mystery. Holy Ghost will help you to understand the mystery by revelation. Not only that, he will give you understanding. He will give the interpretation. He will give the meaning. And true knowledge will settle in your heart at the point of understanding of who Jesus is. It is a gift from God. It is grace from God. This heart is the heart of a disciple. It's the heart of everybody who wants to follow this message and treasure the word of God. Continue to read, continue to meditate, continue to ask till God come and give you spiritual understanding, and then you will come to believe. Abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. You will, he never said, you know, you will know the truth. The truth will come at the right time. And the truth will set you free from ignorance, set you free from sense knowledge, set you free from prejudice, and you will have to receive the word of revelation of God that sets free. Paul was set free when revelation came. He understood he was ignorant and turned his heart towards Jesus and received the light. The last group I want to tell you today is the ever-believing group. In the parable of the sower, when Jesus said, some seed fall into the good ground and produce fruit. This is the heart God wants everybody to have. This is the heart of Christ. Ever-believing group. Ever-believing group. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, nothing will change their mind about what they believe. When there is no money, when there is no money in the pocket, when everything is tough, their belief is as strong, because their belief is not based on something created. Their belief is based on God himself. Have faith in God. These people are the one that have what we call divine faith. Their faith came from God. It's a gift from God. Their faith is on God. God is the basis of their faith. Such is the faith of Abraham. Abraham here in the Old Testament. Whatever God said, he never queried. Leave your father's house. He left immediately. Take your son, Isaac, go to the mountain of Moriah and sacrifice. He obeyed. That's Abraham. A heart that believes what the Lord says. Why? Because these people, they had something in common. They were prophets. What makes a prophet? God said in Numbers chapter 12, verse 6, if there is a prophet, I, God, I will reveal myself to the prophet. Hallelujah. When revelation comes, this prophet, they live in the new realm above the senses. There are spiritual people. They hear from God and walk at God's instruction, we call this divine faith. Whatever they hear is what they say. Whatever God say, they will do. God say go, they go. Stand up, they stand up. Say and say. God command them what to say and what to do. This is the good heart. This is the heart, Elijah's heart, the prophet. When everybody abandoned, Elijah would stand in Mount Carmel in 1 Kings chapter 18 and challenge the false prophet and stood for the ground of God, Elijah. David was part of this. David had a heart totally dedicated to God. While everybody was afraid of the giant, David, the small boy, was the one that had a faith that surprises everybody. It was divine faith. Why? David was hearing the inner voice of God, telling him what to do. And he believed, he acted faith, and the glory of God came. This is the Old Testament. We have in the New Testament, all the apostles, they were slow to believe group. But something happened at Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit came, they enter what we call divine faith. Their faith was shifted to a new level. They were in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, speaking in tongues, speaking heavenly language, hearing the voice of God clearly, walking in the direction of God, led by God every single day of their lives. Their faith was anchored on God. Peter stood boldly and never denied Jesus. Whatever the Spirit of God says, that's they will do. When they threaten him, he said, consider, is it right? I can only say what I hear and what I witness. They were witnessing in the power of the Holy Ghost. This is the heart God wants you and I, everybody, to have. Means the ever-believing group is the person that is a full-time believer, a full-time Christian. Whether the times are good, whether the times are bad, nothing will change his mind about what he believes. Whether he's sick or not, Jesus is Lord. Whether he's blessed or not, Jesus is Lord. Whatever comes, Jesus remains Lord forever. The question, we have seen these five different types of heart I mentioned to you. Never believing group, ready to believe whatever they hear and see without examining. The anti-lassi, those who want to see signs and wonders and miracles before they believe. The slow to believe, those who are persevering, reading your Bible every day, faithful to God, but understanding is not there. You are striving to understand. You are on and off. You are getting into the faith. You are getting into divine faith. Keep walking. Keep climbing the mountain. The ever-believing group, when God comes and crowns you with the gift of faith, divine faith, when you reach maturity of life, you live a spirit-filled life. These people, they live always in the Spirit. These people here, slow to believe, today they are in the belief in the Spirit, and tomorrow, on and off. But they are still climbing. They are still climbing the mountain. But at this level, they are not only in the Spirit, they live a Spirit-filled life. They are led by the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible wants you and me to be every single day of our life. Be in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Let your heart be open to the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. Revelation, understanding, inspiration. And begin to act on the word in your heart. And then you do real movement. This is what I can summarize on the prophecy and the importance of meditation in our life. You have heard Prophet Vision say, meditation brings revelation. Revelation brings conviction. Conviction, real movement. What's the meaning of this? When you meditate, you engage your heart to examine everything in the light of the revealing word of God, which is revelation. When revelation comes, understanding will come. Holy Ghost will give you understanding. He will work open your mind to understand the divine meaning. We call it the inwardly received truth. He will reveal to you the meaning, the interpretation of the word of God. When you speak in tongues, he will tell you the meaning. Whatever you want to know, he will tell you the divine meaning. That's the work of Holy Ghost. He works in the understanding. Now, when they say meditation brings what? Revelation. Revelation brings conviction. Now, that's what the prophet said. But there's something in the midst, he said before. He never said this message. Between revelation and conviction comes understanding. That's the gate. No one can believe what he does not understand. Once you understand, you say, hey, it is true. Now I know. I have a reason to believe. And then will come, but it's belief for me too. Why not me? It's conviction. When you are convicted, when you believe it is true, then you begin to walk in the direction of God's command, God's word in your life every single day. In conclusion, to walk in the Spirit is to walk in harmony with the word of God, with the instruction of the Holy Ghost in your heart, telling you where to go and what to do. You must be in the Spirit to hear that word. And to walk in the Spirit, to walk in harmony with the word of God, your step, your movement, everything you do, intimation, suggestion, instruction will come to tell you, go, do this when the time comes. Now, what do we do with these different types of heart? It is the processing of God that will make you pass from one step to another. If you think somebody, listen to me, who does not want to believe, will never believe. If you turn your heart to Jesus and pray and seek the face of God, revelation come and you will come to believe. God will open the eyes of your understanding when humility come and you will come to believe. That's why Jesus said, many of the last can be the first tomorrow. If you are a type of say, I'm ready to believe everything, and you have been deceived, and at the end of the day, you don't want to believe anything, please go to the Bible and meditate, ask Jesus to reveal the truth to you. When the truth comes, you will be anchored on the solid ground of the word of God. Those who say, until I see miracle, I will not believe. We don't need to see to believe. You must believe first and you will see. Ask God to reveal himself in his word. When you believe, faith will come and faith will materialize and show you what is to come. When you believe, vision will come. When you believe, you will see the glory of God. For those who say, I am slow to believe, let me encourage your faith. You say, I don't have faith. You do. Continue to climb the mountain. Building you in faith does not just happen, it is built. Continue to walk with the Spirit of Father till it takes you to a place of spiritual maturity, as it did with all the disciples of old, till at Pentecost given the divine faith. So that's the case. Thank you. I want to pray for all of you. Father, I pray. I commit every single person today in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray you work in our heart. You are the potter and we are the clay. While we turn our heart over to you, let the veil be removed. Let the wall be removed. Let the light come to our heart, the light of revelation, oh Lord. Let the light of understanding come to our mind. Let our mind be renewed, oh Lord. The mighty name of Jesus. Let the Spirit of Father give us conviction of faith. Take us to a point of conviction in our heart. Lead us to believe. Lead us to act of faith. Lead us to see faith as a gift from God. Open our heart to the eternal words of the Holy Ghost in our heart, the word of revelation. Open our heart to spiritual understanding, Lord Jesus. Open our heart to conviction of heart and give us strength to act of faith and to see your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed. In Jesus' name.